Hi, this is Dr. E.
And this is Dr. Dre.
Welcome to our podcast, Mixtape Ho. Hope y'all ready for this, y'all.
We all find our place, our why, in this life by sitting and listening to our inner voice. We pull from those whose DNA runs through us like the winding path of streets of this iconic city that we call home. Our guest, Big Sam Williams of Big Sam's Funky Nation, has a presence that cannot be ignored. His why is a gift that he lives daily. He brings NOLA funk to the world.
His heart, soul, trombone, and voice bleed together effortlessly and brings audiences together. Listen in as Big Sam shares stories, laughter, his legendary musical pedigree, his love of the New Orleans Pelicans and Saints, and much more with us. So here we go, Mixtape Hope, welcoming Big Sam and Funky Nation.
So exciting. So exciting. Thank you so much. So we're in studio today.
That's right.
December 6th, 2022, in person.
Right.
Bringing you the man, Sam. I cannot thank you enough for giving us this time today. I know you're busy. Before you walked in, Luis, he was telling us what actually keeps him the busiest.
Uh-huh.
He has twins.
Yeah. Twin boys, they're 5 years old, you know. Wow. So between, you know, booking gigs and working and writing and parenting. Ooh,
it's a full-time job, right?
Yeah, man. It's
a lot of hats. Nonstop.
Every day I'm up at like 6 a.m. And I usually get them down about 7 p.m., you know, and then I still have a lot to do, you know, before I go to bed. You know, that's why I don't
You're
hang out as
constant.
Much anymore. Like, I'm not working. Like, hey, Sam, you come? I said, man, look, the old man got to get some rest. You
know? That's right.
Yeah, I've been rolling all day. You know, I'm normally in bed by 9 o'clock.
See,
they keep you young though.
Yeah,
they keep you young.
If they don't kill you, I always say
it. Yeah, because they'll definitely try that. You know, now they keep me very active. You know, even when they were playing flag football and soccer and all that, I'm like, man, I got to do this every. Oh my god, I've done my fair share of staying up late night. You know, even doing jazz fest, man, they're like, hey, Sam, you want to do this 3 a.m. show? I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, you gotta pay me some serious money to stay up there late nowadays. You know, I'm like, you know, I like my rest. You know, I've done a lot. I'm not trying to prove anything to anyone. You know, I'm like, yeah, I like my rest, man. You know, but you know, all of that energy though, you know, it comes out on stage too, though. You dig?
It is.
So
it's powerful,
right?
It's powerful, which leads
Thank
me to
you.
Our question.
Yeah.
Can you describe for our audience NOLADelic power funk? Like, that is like one of my new favorite terms.
Yeah, you're right.
Right?
I love it. I can't remember who gave us that title. I feel like it was Dwayne who used to work for OZ, you know. And it was the album King of the Party. I put that out, I think, 2010. Jesus. See what I mean?
Yeah,
that was time flies.
You've been doing this a good minute.
And, and he called it NOLADelic power funk because it was funky. It was rock. And it was very reminiscent of like P-Funk, you know, because P-Funk could play the funk and it like rock out too.
Okay.
So he called it NOLADelic instead of like Funkadelic. You dig? So he called it NOLADelic because like all things New Orleans.
Yes.
But you also, you know, we had our own musical gumbo. You dig? We had New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And we still had the rock and the funk within that. You dig what I'm saying?
Oh,
so
yeah.
So he called it NOLADelic power funk because it's high energy. It's in your face. Even now when I like lay things back a little bit, it's still funky though, you know?
It is.
So it's just in your face. I'm like, take that.
It makes you,
know? You
move.
Exactly.
Makes you move.
You know, we have a few shows where nowadays, which is weird. I don't know what's going on. You know, you might see some footage of people not dancing. And people are like, man, what's wrong with these people? Like, why are they dancing?
Right. That's the goal.
And it's just something in the universe right now that I don't know what's going on. Some people just aren't dancing to music anymore. I don't know why.
Really?
It's kind of weird. And
COVID? You think COVID stunted people?
Maybe, you know, but I feel like I'm pretty good at my job.
You are.
I know.
And I mean, and we've had like, I mean, even still, we get like 90-year-olds up and dancing, like everything from little kids to 90-year-olds dancing, 100-year-olds, hell. And but some people, you know what? I think it's the snobbish crowd, the ones who think they're just too good to do.
Too good to dance.
Yeah,
right.
they're like, you know what? I don't want to dance. It could be Michael Jackson on stage. Like, no, I'm just going to sit
here.
You know, like, what are you here for, man? Like, for real.
Yes.
Come on.
Live music.
Right.
Yeah, we try to adopt that mentality as far as try to Yeah. Yeah. Get out there, dance, move like no one's watching.
Exactly. But you know what? Absolutely. If they tapping their feet, I'm like, I got you. Yeah.
He's watching y'all.
You're trying to hold it. You're trying to hold it, but I see you, you know.
He is watching that's right. y'all. I love it.
Or if they feel real good and just want to give you a big tip at the end, like,
yeah, that'll work.
That works, so I take it. Sit on down. Yeah.
You know, that, big, I love
that's
it.
That's right.
I love it. Y'all, I mean, he fills up the room. His personality. Yeah, and this is just him without an instrument in his hand. No, so right, this you. Is amazing. So do you want to tell the story about Shelly calling us one Saturday? So we're huge. When we take you down to tour the clinic downstairs, we're huge music fans, obviously. Yeah. And so our patient exam rooms are filled with Jazz Fest posters. So we feel like it's like a it's a tip of the hat to our culture, where we came from, where what yeah, we're right. able to live in the shadows of here. So
right. So I've been blessed. My assistant, Shelly Villarette, we've worked together since 2004.
Nice.
And so she was at one of the music festivals recently and gave me a call and said, Doc, downstairs, I know you've got a lot of Jazz Fest prints, little posters, and they're selling this one. It's the Buddy Bolton 2005, I believe.
Buddy Bolton, yes.
And she's like, would you like to get it? I was like, sure. So I showed it to Dre, and she looked it up, and she made the connection.
Yeah.
I know.
I was like, wait. I know this. I know this.
Connection.
Because researching for this, like for this podcast, you like look come up on all these like nuggets of golden knowledge.
Yeah.
And so I'm putting it together, and I'm like, wait, we have a picture with him.
right?
Like nice. Right.
So I guess, Dre, you can share the connection.
My next question is literally music. Can you hear people say it's in their blood? It's
no, because Buddy Bolden ended up being your grandfather.
Right, great-grandfather. Yeah. Right. So I was putting it together about, you know, this amazing print that we have in the history and the, you know, the history of someone who predated Louis Armstrong, which that's deep. That's getting really deep and
that's
big.
Huge.
Like I had to like literally like I'm like an hour reading like, wait, there was what was this? And it's he literally, as you're sitting here saying about this new genre of jazz and funk and power and rock that you put together. I mean, that is literally running through your veins as far as like creativity.
Exactly. And I didn't find out until much later in life, you know, like after I was playing, you know, I found out when I was like 19 years old, 19, 20 years old. That's when I found out. And I was like, wow, then I was like, oh, snap, that makes sense.
It makes sense.
I was like, especially my sound is so huge, you know.
So huge.
And I'm not doing it on purpose. Like some people, like, I'm going to play so loud, I'm going to do this. It just comes out that way, you know, and that's the way I express myself. When people are like, hey, can you do this? I can do it, but it's not going to feel the same, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's different if I'm playing in like a horn section.
Yes.
If I'm doing horn section work, I know I have to play the parts like this and make it sound like this. But if I'm improvising, I'm soloing, and I'm being myself, I have to express myself that way, and it just comes out like super powerful. I remember Nicholas Payton, when he heard me back with the Dirt Dozen back in 2001, he was like, man, your sound was just so big and beautiful, man. He was like, he said it's loud, but it's not like you're blasting. He said it was just so, it's just powerful. A beautiful, powerful sound, man. I was like, thanks, man. Like from coming from Nick at any moment in his career is like amazing, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it just happened. I was like, man, this makes all the sense in the world, you know?
So when did you know? Yeah. Like when was the first time you picked it up and you said, yep, trombone, this is it?
I didn't actually, man. Like, so here's the thing. So,
love it.
So I've always been a big kid, you know what I'm saying? So like, even when I was in the sixth grade, I was about the size I am now, the height I am now. You know,
in
the sixth grade, when it's hot, 15 to shoe. I thought I was gonna be a baller, you know, like, so, I was playing basketball and stuff like that, you know, under little kid. Yeah. I'm playing NBA, you know? And then, I mean, I just stopped growing after that. Well, sixth grade, I was like 6 feet, 6'1". Now I'm 6'2". And I wear a 16 shoe now. But so I grew
still
a little bit
like,
more.
That's good.
But but at that time, it was a little different than now. They told me I was too big to play with my age group. While I was already playing, one game, it was like, oh, well, you're too big to play with your age group. But I wasn't old enough to play with the older kids. So I was like, well, damn, I need something else to do, you know? And this is all like leading up to like middle school, you know?
Okay.
And, so I said, well, you know what? Marching bands are pretty popular here in New Orleans, you know, like our culture.
Yeah,
so, you know, I wasn't worried about culture and all that. Then I was just like, this is cool. People like to do this. Let me see if I join the marching band, you know? Mm-hmm. So I joined the marching band, and the band director was like, well, what do you want to play? I just said, whatever you need somebody on. And he said, the trombone. And I said, what's that? And he was like, here you go, take this and go home. And I said, all right, cool. I took it home, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to try this thing. And I just started like it sounded like crap, but the first song I played by ear that same day was like Wild Thing. And then sound like it sounded bad. Then I played Saints by ear, just like figuring out the slide. And I at that time had no idea that it was running through my blood at all. You know what I'm saying? I had no idea. But I was catching on to things so quickly. It was amazing. Even like a couple of months in, because he was teaching us how to read music and like things like that, all the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. And I was just like catching on like that. And all the upperclassmen were getting mad at me because I'm like, I'm just doing what he's telling us to do.
And right. it was just like your inner language. I could feel it, sense it.
So, you know, and in marching band, you know, we're all kids. We're all being bad. When he steps out the room, so he'll come in the room. He's like, oh, y'all want to talk, huh? So he would discipline us and like have us run laps and do push-ups and stuff like that. And this is Daryl Dixon, by the way. Where is he now? He's over at the Ellis Marcellus.
That's right.
But he was the one that put the horn in my hand, you know? And love that cat, you know, because he taught me a lot, you dig? So even from that moment on, like, he'll like walk in, like, oh, y'all want to talk? He said, okay, we'll play this scale. And by one, he actually played like the scales that, you know, that he didn't tell you to learn. And I knew all of them. And he was like,
that's something.
He was like, you got lucky. Still give me some push-ups. I was like, oh man, that's cold blooded. Yeah, but it was cool though. But
so you didn't even realize how difficult what you were being asked to do or how fast to pick it up.
The way I actually caught on and realized it because the upper class when we were like reading charts and they were messing up and I'm just sitting in the back looking, I'm like, no, it should go like this in my head. I'm like, and he'll like one by one be like, that's wrong. Next. Okay, that's wrong. Next. And I'm like, then when somebody would finally play it right, well, he would have to say, no, it goes like this. And I'm like, that's what I'm saying in my head. Like, that's
right.
So, you know, it took a while for me to really build up that confidence, though, to say, oh, I know exactly what I'm doing. You dig? Yeah. So, but it was from that moment on, I was just rolling.
But you know, so high it became school, a pat. You loved it. It wasn't something that someone was saying, you got to do this, you got to do that.
You can make money. You loved doing
it. Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. It wasn't even that. Yeah, it wasn't even about money. Like, you know, even. My dad, you know, he was like, well, son, you know, you could play football now. And, you know, and like, mm-hmm. once I got to high school, you could play basketball. I think I'm going to play music. You know, he was like, ah, son, you know, I said, I'm good.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to play music, you know.
This is your calling.
Yeah.
This
and, is your calling. And it worked out, you know, like a mug. So it's
absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely. Yeah. We are blessed because of it. Absolutely. So we were talking about your little ones, 5 years young.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, so
5 years.
They'll
be six next month.
Oh, okay. So they'll be okay.
They're King's Day babies.
And they
January 6th.
Are they? How tall are they?
They're pretty tall.
They're pretty.
Yep.
Oh, they're King's
Day. They just made an announcement today. Yeah. It's a month before their birthday.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
So January 6th. Sweet. So sweet.
They are tall. They've been the tallest in their class since. since nursery. Ramon is a little shorter than Sammy, but Sammy is they're my first middle name.
Uh-huh.
They he has like an inch or two on him. Sam's a little taller, but Ramon's a little bigger.
Look at that.
But they're still like taller than everybody else.
Sweet baby.
You know, I'm like, bro, y'all are huge. And they can eat.
Any musical.
Yeah, and that's the crazy thing. So they like to walk around the house and like, you know, play on drums and the piano. They pick up the guitars, all of the horns. And I'm not pushing it. I'm just like,
that's amazing.
They want to play. Cool. I'm just like, they're whatever, you know? Yeah. They're having fun. And then like now what they'll do, they'll go to like the piano or the instrument. They'll like sing things and like, they'll like try to play it. And you can hear them trying to figure it all out. And I'm like, okay.
Wow.
I'm not.
Must give you a sense of joy though, just to see some pleasure.
It is, man. It really is, you know. And like I said, there's no pressure from me at all right now. You know, mom might be trying to get more pressure than I am. I'm like their kids. Let them, you know, some people like putting in their kids like early on. I'm like, hey, man, look. So come when it comes. Yeah, you know, have fun with it. Exactly.
So does that happen as much in music? You hear sports families, right? Kids throwing a baseball like dad did from the second they could pick it up. But
it happens a lot, man. Yeah. A lot more than you think.
Especially
like some kids, some kids have no idea that is there, you know. Maybe I had it at that age and didn't know because I wasn't, you know, in a position to play and no one presented me with an instrument, you know. But but it happens so often, man.
You literally fell in.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was really my calling, you know. Like I wasn't even looking for it. It just happened.
I love that because the whole point of this podcast is that healing power. And so when you say you look out you look out to see, okay, what am I doing for these people? What are, like, how am I giving? How am I serving? Like, what brings you, like, reciprocates that joy and that gift that you put out? What do you see out there in the crowd that just makes you, like, kick it up a notch?
A whole lot of smiles and ass shaking. Yeah. Like, once we see it, we're like, we're doing a good job. Let's keep it going, you know? We do that, and then, you know, I mean, it's everything, you know? Like, we feel the vibe. We feed off of the crowd, too, you know what I'm saying? Okay. One of the hardest things during COVID was, like, when we did my driveway series, you know? So we were playing at my house in the driveway, and we just pull out, iPhone or iPad, and we're just facing the camera. Like, I didn't post it because I didn't want people like coming up to the house and all, you know, I was trying to be safe, trying to be, you know, responsible.
Sure.
And it was just weird, like trying to get all that energy and, you know, like, hey, yeah, somebody make some noise. And it's
because it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
It's a two-way street. Let me see you in the comments. I'll make some noise, you know. right. And then, but after we were done, you know, I'll go back and like talk to people that's on there. And people were like, oh my God, thank you guys so much. Even now, people were like, thank us for performing every Sunday during COVID and, you know, streaming for free. People send donations and stuff to help us out. So that was cool, you know, and we're very thankful for that.
Yeah, because at that point, it was more of a one way kind of just sending that out and you really couldn't get the benefit of receiving it.
Right.
Because it is a two way thing. When you catch live music, we say it all the time.
It's, for real.
It's magic.
It is.
It's so magic. And we're, honestly, I know I've been saying this, but we are really so blessed to live in this city. Like,
definitely,
I can tell you, really, like, guests that we have spoken to all over the world, really. I mean, their sentiments about, there's no place like New Orleans. There's
not
no
at
place
all. In New Orleans. I ain't going nowhere.
That was one of my questions. Could you ever live anywhere?
I ain't going nowhere. As raggedy of a city as we are, I ain't going nowhere.
Absolutely.
All the complaints I have about this city, I'm born and raised here. I ain't going nowhere.
But how do you get to export your music? Do you still travel?
It's easy. Yeah, I still travel. Okay, that's so here's amazing. The thing. So for me, once the boys were born, right? Well, here's the thing. Oh, Lord, I put that on mute.
No.
That's my bass player. That's him on the picture.
All right. Oh,
yeah. So I'm going to call you back, Jerry, if you're listening. I'll call you back, bro. Should answer it, bro. Yeah, bro. But what I'm about to tell y'all.
Exporting your music.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. So
with the kids.
You know, we were already traveling like 250 days out the year, you know, like getting in it, you know. Then once the boys were born, a month later, I left town for 2 months straight. And I said, man, you know what? I can't do this. I said, I got to be here for my little ones. You know, they got to know daddy needs to be very, you know, present in their lives.
Absolutely.
So, so what I did, I started doing every Wednesday at the Jazz Playhouse.
Mm.
It's with a smaller band. So it was an early show at like 7:30, you know, done by 10:30 or whatever. So I was like, okay, that gives me a reason to be home Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday through Sunday. If need be, I'll leave town. Mm-hmm. And I was doing that. Excuse me. I was doing that all the way up until COVID, you know?
Okay.
So COVID hit and then everything stops. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man. So now what we're doing now, I'm still doing the same type of thing, except for I'm only leaving for like a day or two on a weekend.
And I'm
still doing private, still doing like other festivals, still doing, you know, I'm not doing as many club shows out of town because for the club run, you got to like line up a string of dates and I'm not trying to do that. So I'll go out, I do a festival, come back, maybe one or two, do a private whether it's a wedding, a birthday party, a corporate, whatever, you know, we're still getting out there. And these are all fans that's like calling us to book us for whatever events that they have. So it's cool. That's I love it.
Wow.
I'm so like humbled and so proud. Like that's something that we just kind of started stepping into like in medicine of saying, you know, this is how we feel best living, like just kind of, I don't want to say like cliche, taking control of your life, but it is. It's knowing your purpose, knowing your calling, but saying I got to give to myself. Like I have to be honest with where I am and what I want to give to myself and to this next generation, like my family. That's what makes it. But it's bold though, right?
Yeah,
like
you have it is, to be really is.
Bold and to do that.
Exactly. And that's the thing. I've been playing music now since I was 15, you know. And I started hitting the road really hard when I was 19. I would dare to dozen out 300 days out the year. So for me, that's all I knew. Road, hit it. Mm-hmm. So after 20 something years of just like pounding it, I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I said, you know what? I'm going to pace myself, be a little bit smarter about it.
Sure.
And that way, you know, I'm not breaking my neck. My cats aren't breaking their necks and I could still be here for my family. They could be here for their family, you know? So I just had to like, you know, figure out where I want to be.
Just adjust.
So along those lines, do you get to mentor any young musicians?
Yeah, so just like you guys would call, like some people would call out and be like, hey, can you come like, you know, speak at this school or whatever, or like help this cat out or whatever. And I say, yeah, you know, like no problem at all. We even have people come from out of town that's in different universities or whatever. They'll come to the playhouse and be like, hey man, can we hook up and like, you know, like share a little bit, well, y'all know y'all musicians. Hey. can we share? I'm like, yeah, man, like no problem. Look, I said, look, I'm free at this time. If it doesn't work, you know, I can, you know, we can hop on the phone or whatever. I can give you some advice on some things and stuff like that. So, I can mentor you as far as playing and or the business side of things too, because the business side is the part that a lot of musicians fail to like, you know, retain knowledge on. You know, they're like, they don't get it. They think they could just play and be the best musician in the world and it's going to come to them. Mm-hmm. And it's not about that. I mean, it is, because you're making sure that you're great, but you got to take care of the business. You know what I'm saying? And James Brown said it best, 90% business.
Wow. That's it. That's cool. You don't think about that.
You got to have the talent. You have the passion, the drive, and you have to be willing to weather the hard stuff, the tight stuff.
You have to, for real.
Just kind of keep that.
Yes, absolutely. And so when you, I guess when you choose and you pick like where you're going to go, first of all, let's just go ahead and put it out there. You're ringing in the new year, right? Yeah, so let's talk. I want to talk about the show. I want to talk about the Jazz House, because I'll tell you, we are still, I think, in the infancy of discovering our city and our community, which our children are getting older. So we're able to either tag them along with us, which the little one who came with us to our last jazz show,
At New Orleans Jazz Market?
I mean, we're like starting to kind of step into these venues because we're in the heart of raising kids. So it's amazing what we have here.
Yeah,
it's really amazing. Tell us about the Jazz House. Tell us about the show.
So over at the Jazz Playhouse on Wednesdays, I do a smaller version of my band. You know, we start off nice and easy. Might play a little trad and then for about 10 minutes. And then after that, we funking it up. And I give you the disclaimer. I'm like, look, that sign says jazz, and you see a person with a horn, that's not what's about to go down. Like, y'all better be ready to get on up and shake something.
Nola Dell.
That's right. I'm going to come down and grab you out your seat. You better come on now, you know. But,
the power.
Yeah, come
wait.
On. You know, but for New Year's Eve, I'm using a full band there.
Nice.
So, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be crazy. Like, 9 p.m., right?
Yeah, 9 p.m. We did it last year. And it worked out so well. It was like, you know what? Like, let's do it. Like, you know, we've been doing, we get the calls too, still to do like some of the bigger shows and all of that. And I was like, man, it was cool just to like be in a room with like, it was like 150 people, I think, that they can squeeze in there. And just had fun, a laid back night.
Is it just going or is it doing seatings like they do at Preservation Hall?
They have seats there, but that's not encouraged at all, you know.
It's not encouraged.
Yeah, they're gonna have seats there, but matter of fact, it was a video last year of that show. And they had like a table of people. They were standing up, but they weren't dancing. And people were like, what are they doing? Like, those people aren't dancing. But everybody else was like rocking out, you know. So we're doing that on New Year's Eve. It's going to be a good time. If you didn't get your tickets yet, you might want to go ahead and grab them.
Yes.
It's going to be a good time, you know. So,
for sure.
And it's going to be the full band. I only do the full band there for New Year's Eve. Otherwise, it might be a 4-piece, maybe a 5-piece, you know. But come on through.
And how much do you get to collaborate? Like, you know, does Big Freedia ever call you up and say, hey.
Yeah, you know what? Whenever COVID happened, that year, right before COVID, so 2019, I had a Christmas show at Tipitina's, and I had Freedia as a special guest, you know, and we've collabed a lot out of town too. Mm-hmm. So that's something that a lot of people don't know. Like, when we're on the road, a lot of us are on the road at the same time in the same venue, same festivals. So we do things together that people in New Orleans might not even know about, you know?
Yes.
So that's cool. Also, Freedia was supposed to be on my song Polk Chop, like, that I put out in like 2014.
Okay.
I think 2014 or 2018. One of them. Anyway.
You have 5-year-olds, so yeah.
2018.
Get hazy.
It was on the album Songs in the Key of Funk. So Freedia's supposed to, but had a little mix up with the studio timing and all of that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm on a strict time. Like, I got to get this I got to get this out. So it just didn't work out, you know. But, which is crazy because it was the same year. Damn.
I know, right? Time is flying by, and we have to measure it by the children's births, right?
Right. I'm like,
was this pre-kids, post-kids? Right.
So
like,
where
was pre-Katrina, that? Pre-Katrina, post-Katrina.
Right. Everything. We have these bookmarks in our lives like that.
No, but a lot of us, we collab a lot, you know. Even outside of that, you know, I hooked up with, y'all ever heard of Here Come the Mummies?
No. Mm-hmm.
So check them out. It's a pretty killing funk band.
Okay.
And they put on one hell of a show. They all dress up like mummies. You don't know their identities. Like, it's crazy, you know. But they did a show at the House of Blues, and I hooked up with them a few times.
Did you have to dress up?
Yeah, I did not. Okay. I'm not a mummy.
Big Sam's
I get to know who some of them are, but, you know, some of them I see, I'm like, dude, who are you? Like,
wow.
But no, but they're a really good band. It's funky, entertaining. They have choreography. It's great. It's like nine or 10 piece band, and they have like five horns.
Get out.
It's pretty.
Okay. We got to check this. They're pretty killing.
What about Preservation? Yeah. Like, we're still finding out new stuff.
Widespread Panic. Oh, there's a lot of people you've collabed.
So one of the first gigs I've ever done was with Widespread Panic. I was like 19 years old. We show up in like this empty field in the mountains in Keystone, Colorado. Like, it was a dozen Widespread Panic and Stanley Jordan. And I'm like, ooh.
What is that?
I'm a little black kid from the world. I'm like, who coming out here in these mountains, man? I'm like, what's going on? And they're like, oh, we got a show. I'm like, ain't nobody coming way out here to see no music, man. Like, whatever. So anyway, we did rehearsals. And then, but with Widespread, that's back when Mikey was playing too on guitar. Right. It was like crazy. So we all meeting the cats. We all cool, hanging out, chilling. Rehearsing like Superstition and all this kind of stuff. I'm like, all right, use me up. I'm like, all right, I know these songs, cool. So did sound check, everybody chilled out, went to catering and all that, got to the stage, had 20,000 people out. I'm like, what the world?
Like,
where did people come from? Like, and I didn't him come in, they just like popped up all of a sudden.
They just drop out
right. So I was like, this is crazy. I'm like, bro, this is like insane. Yeah. Like, and then we started playing, and those people just showed so much love and energy.
Oh my gosh,
it was off the chain. I said, man, this is lovely. I was like, this is where it's at. This is
jam bands. Yeah, they got their following.
Yeah, they got it. They show up in droves.
They show up and show out. It's
they don't sleep for days. Yeah, exactly. Any questions?
I've had a lot of those nights.
You're like, what's happening?
Here's the kicker, though. I would make sure I would shower some type of way, because when you're out there, you're just out there, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, if I got to go somewhere and use a sink, I'm going to wash out.
I'm cleaning myself.
And the main thing, it was like, oh, you smell so good. This is day three. How you smell so good?
Mm. You're like, yeah. I was raised
right. Yeah, I was. I'm going to say, but. I'm going to say, you bleep out. We ain't lying, right? Say, I wash my balls. That's how.
Your mom taught you well. You got to get things done.
She taught me very well. Look, I got to stay clean out here. Can't be out here smelling like whatever. You know?
No. You were saying about, preservation. Like, the list go on. Like, so where it's so dense.
She's like, all I want for my birthday this year is tickets to the Creole Christmas show that they're doing at Preservation Hall.
Yeah, you're going to love it.
I can't wait. You're going to love it.
She's
so
never
excited.
Been, so this is going to be her first time.
I know.
Listen, there's something very magical about Preservation Hall.
Oh,
like, whenever I play there, I mean, like, for real, you just feel the energy.
Oh.
It's like a whole different kind of vibe that comes through you. You start playing things and hearing things that you never even thought you would play or hear. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful place.
Like,
for real, like.
Oh, I have a goosebumps.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Like, being a musician and being in that building is really something special.
Yeah.
Like, for real.
And
I've done a few different types of shows there. Mm-hmm. And every time it's like, whoa.
It shakes your soul.
Yeah.
That's what.
And I know I feel it in the moment, but I've seen some video footage. I was like, ooh, like, man, that's just soulful.
It's
just
intense.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. Like, and I ain't blowing smoke up nobody. It's the real deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so check it out.
And this is in our city. This is in our city. This is like we can partake. And this is why, you know, I know everyone has their stories of why. Like, why, you know, our friends, I was born here, grew up in Baton Rouge, and then back here for training. And he was not from here local, but married a New Orleans girl, so you're going to live here in New Orleans.
That's right.
This is the fine print.
But everyone has their, you know, like, well, why are y'all staying? Well, you know, this is going on, or statistics of this and that. And for our listeners, I know your heart would speak to our same sentiments, but why? First of all, why question? If you love it, you love it. But just don't don't knock it. Like, it's, if you don't know, you don't know
right.
New Orleans.
Real. That's
you
real.
Don't really know New Orleans.
That's real.
Right?
That's right. I moved away for 2 years. I didn't move away. I was displaced. It was Katrina. So, So after that, I lived in San Antonio for 2 years, you know, but I was still driving down here 9 hours every weekend back and forth to like play shows and try to help rebuild the city, mm-hmm. clean up things like that, you know. But after living in Texas, and don't forget, even at that point, I was already like touring the world like nonstop.
Right.
And I'm just like, you know what? I've seen a lot. And even living in Texas for 2 years, I'm like, get me home. Aww. I ain't trying to go nowhere else in the world. Like,
this is home.
You know, and like I told you earlier, as raggedy as we are, you know, as city as we are, I ain't trying to go nowhere else. This is it. I mean, I'll take it. It's worth it.
And the city's better off.
Exactly.
The city's better off because of you, because of your heart, because of your dedication, your
some people, I mean, look at Kermit. Kermit is over at you know, his spot, Munlaw Lounge, right?
Yes.
People break into his car, break into his spot, and, vandalize his vehicle all the time. He posts it all the time, you know. And guess what? He said, I ain't going nowhere because of these knuckleheads.
Yeah, like,
catch
you just roll on.
Right here, right. You know, he'll show you video footage of them doing it, you know. Like,
crazy.
He's like, you know, it's going to take more than that to run me away, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, same here. I ain't going nowhere. I'm good.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so with the family and with the job, and so how often do you find time to actually write and still produce?
It's tricky. Right now, man, I have like, I can't play it right now. It's a lot.
Just whenever it's inspiration hits.
Yeah, so here's the thing too. Like, the industry is, I mean, y'all know, the industry is kind of, it's different now. Like, you can't just put out a full length album because it costs so much to make, and people aren't buying CDs, mm-hmm. you know? So doing that is, even at live shows, like, you might get a few people that want it, you know? But it's different now. And as far as streaming, that streaming is like killing everybody, you know. And I can't even, I'm not mad at people for streaming. I'm mad at the powers that be for not compensating artists what they should truly be paid, you know.
Absolutely.
Like, if an album is $10 to buy online, I shouldn't see a dollar of that. I should see at least like $8. You know what I'm saying?
$9. Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
But they give you like fractions of a penny, like per song, you know? And it's like, bruh, like y'all are killing us. So even with me right now, just putting out singles, which is my plan now, because when I did Songs in the Key of Funk, I called it Volume 1 because I anticipated on like making more.
Right.
Like, just keep that going, you know? But now I'm just really singles because for me and where I am, it's the best thing for me to do. You know, and I have, I mean,
absolutely.
At least a few hundred songs.
literally. So you like, got a catalog. Just waiting.
Like, just to release. And the thing is, now you're like, you know, because of social media, you need like more content to go with it, you know?
Right.
And so my plan is, you know, I like to do a video with everything. So a video for every song was my plan. So that's what I have to work on.
Oh, wow.
It works because it's like anticipation because you're like waiting for the next, you know, you get to enjoy the old, but we love that. We're huge vinyl fans. Like, I wish tapes would come back. I bought a cassette player.
Nice.
Recently.
There
you go. And so you have a cassette, I'll buy.
I have the all in one with the record player, CD, cassette, and what else? Is that it?
It's CD.
MP3?
CD. Record player, CD, and then you hook the aux cord up to it, and you're good. Yeah, I have that.
I think it's just a throwback. Yeah, and then we tell the children, like, you have to listen to it as it was intended to be played on the album. Like, that artist put it into that sequence
for a reason.
Exactly.
And you have to press play, and an hour later,
and let
maybe
it roll.
Let it roll for like real. A show.
That's right.
Yes.
But now everything's so spotty. It's
exactly.
like instant gratification.
Yeah.
Like everything.
We're gonna start that trend back.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
it. I could and so for
good luck with that.
And so for us, we don't like to, like, I think every day is a new beginning. But you know, one of the things that we talk a lot about is obviously hope. But your hope for this next generation, your hope for this, and I don't even want to say as small a microcosm as our city and our community, but you know, for this world, when we're not getting healthier, we're getting sicker, not just physically, but emotionally. I think things like music have the amazing power and potential. Like, you can grab things from your great-grandfather's generation. You can grab things from your generation, from your parents' generation, and we could put it all in a pot together, and it is a mixture of just beauty and healing. What is your hope for this next generation as you look at your
I hope your everyone children. Just continues to be like creative, you know, and do what's comfortable for them, and not saying comfortable as far as like, you know, locking yourself inside of a box. I'm saying like be who you are and be true to yourself. You dig what I'm saying? Like such and such might sound good doing this, doesn't mean you have to go and do that. Huh. You gotta find your own thing that you do, you know what I'm saying? Because prime example, like I don't consider myself one of the baddest trombonists in the world, you know what I'm saying? But you put them on stage with me.
Yeah, you will break it down.
And I'm not going to try to do what this person is doing or what that person. I'm going to do what I do and stay true to myself. Yes. And that's going to come out so much better than trying to copy this person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Sure.
So I just want the next generation just to know, like, it's okay to do what you, even if you think it's weird.
Do it. Like, it's not hurting yourself or anyone else.
Might be before your time.
Right, you know?
Yes.
I wish I could remember, I'm going to remember after the show and tell y'all, watch. Somebody that's on Saturday Night Live, I was like, man, this shit is weird. Yes.
I love Saturday Night Live.
And he's like super famous. He's this famous artist. And I was like, this is weird, but it's kind of cool.
But it's
kind of cool. I said, but this is weird. I can't. But I was singing the song. Like, after it was over, I got to remember who it was.
They did it.
He had like a little ukulele up on the stage. He's like 6'5", 6'6", white guy, gray hair.
Huh.
We're going to have to go back and archive that.
It was
weird, but that's the thing. To your point, like it touched some part of your, you know, because we're all genetically, but we're all connected as humans. We're genetically human together. Yes. So we need to I think we need to remember that and honor that. And,
exactly.
You know, we watched that movie Avatar with our little one this past weekend. And yeah, don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt the world. Don't hurt other people. And just. Do your thing.
Right.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
Do your thing like Big Sam, like on stage. Like, how can you be
just
like.
Just do you, you know?
It's so much energy. Like your vocals, your trombone.
And I tell you what, even with that, like, I don't consider myself a singer, but I get up and I just do what I do. You know what I'm saying? And so many musicians, especially locally, like, you know, used to talk a whole lot of trash. Like, man, he be up there and he dancing and doing this. Like, we play instruments. And I'm like, well, you play an instrument, but I'm doing all this other stuff.
You're doing all
and voice is an instrument.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I'm not trying to do it. I'm not like, oh, I'm about to do it. No, it just came out that way. And then over the years, I realized, oh, I do this. Like, this is what I do.
Absolutely. So, own it.
I just roll with it. Like, once you find out your thing, you keep doing your thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And people want to see that and appreciate it, you know?
It looks great on you. It looks great in our city.
Folks can't see it back home, but... your hat, New Orleans Pelicans hat.
That is like
hat.
One of the best.
How are you liking like this season?
Man, we looking so good.
We
looking so good this season, unlike our other team. But that's all right.
That's okay.
That's all right. We still hoot that all day. But the Pels are looking so good.
Now, have you had a chance to play at the arena?
Actually.
This year?
Yes, I played one of the timeout breaks.
Uh-huh.
That was like about a month ago. And as I was waiting downstairs, I got called for the halftime show this Friday night.
Get out. Our son's going to be there. Be there.
So we're probably going to do the halftime show this, because that's what I was doing. Yeah, I was like, oh.
Congrats.
See, that's probably why he's calling, because I'm like, wait, I'm going to let you know.
Cool.
Yeah, we'll be there this Friday night.
Well, it's nice to see other fans too. Again,
absolutely.
Helping promote our local teams and local musicians.
They're this year. Oh my God.
Yeah. It's brought a lot of joy to a lot of people.
Yeah. And CJ really was like the
catalyst, right?
Yeah. I was like, man.
That dude's smart.
Look, he is, bro. For real. Yeah. My bad. He is, bro. Yeah. I backed up.
It is. I mean, well, you know, we may have to, we'll talk after, but we may have to push this one out this week. We're going to help do everything we can to continue to promote the awesomeness and the Lidelic Power Funk here. Yeah, so, and we're just so humbled that you spent this time with
Big
us.
Big Sam Funky Nation.
Yes.
All day, baby. Love.
New Year's show.
Yeah, you're right.
Boom.
Over at the Playhouse. Come and get something, you dig?
Yeah.
In the Playhouse. We will.
That's right.
I'll definitely check it out. Special thanks to our producer, John Girard,
and our coordinating manager, Olivia Olson.
Be sure to follow us on Instagram @MixtapeHopePodcast.
Thank you.